The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Ooh, China John. That's right.
Every day, we are force-fed a diet of untruths and propaganda. When we fight back to preserve our right to make our own informed decisions, we take back control of our lives. Welcome to Awaken the Sleeper with your host, Dr. Nick Castellano. It's time to set the record straight on what the government, the news media, technology, politics, and the energy sector are all about. Now, here is your host, Dr. Nick Castellano.
Well, welcome to Awaken the Sleeper. This is Dr. Nick Castellano, and I'm out in the world doing what I do. And we've got Andrew Hoglum in the studio doing what he do. And we're here to give you a bit of a review of some stuff we've talked about, because we got Dr. Matt Menino coming in next week, and he's going to be doing a neuroscience of creating. Now, Dr. Matt is a quantum, he does a program called the Quantum Experience. Is that what it's called?
Quantum Emergence.
And he's really good at finding out what is blocking you from the wealth, health, prosperity, peace, joy, whatever it is in your life that's the blocker. He can find that, and he can help you see what it is. And then once you see what it is, what he has you do is redefine it into a term that probably is more reality than the thing you gave it as a 4 or 5 year old kid. And then it releases you from the bondage that you placed yourself in. So it worked for me, and I know a lot of guys that have gone through the program, and it really works well. And so what we're kind of doing is teeing up the neuroscience of creating for Dr. Matt for next week, and we're real excited about having him on. So this week we're going to talk a little bit about creating and about how it works, and we're going to get in a little bit deeper than we did the first time we talked about it. And we're just going to remind people that you do create your reality, and that you know, as a three-year-old says, you're the boss of you. So we're going to talk about that, but first we're going to get into what we talked about last week. And last week we talked about the truth funnel and using this technique together with body language and facial reading to see what someone is really saying. We know that a small percentage of communication is done based on the words that we say, but a large percentage is based on facial expressions, body language, and tonality. So we're trying to find out what people are really saying. We have to read those things, and that's why texting and emailing is so flawed, is that it doesn't give us the advantage of actually reading the body language or hearing the tonality, and we kind of miss meanings or true meanings that people are conveying when they're speaking. So we're also going to get in the we're going to get into the information that they can understand when we talk to them. We're getting into the ways that they can communicate. We're trying to find this thing of common union that we talked about last week. If you hear them speaking in the feel language, then we talk in the feel language, like, you know, what I feel is, and then you'll say, well, you know, I'm feeling the same way, or the think language. There's another language that you hear a lot, think. I think that what I think we should do, because intellectuals usually use the think language. Well, you better speak think language. Or see language. Visionaries usually say, you know what I'm seeing? I see. And then you better be speaking see language. Or there's also the hear language. I'm hearing what you're saying, and what I'm hearing is that, and you better be speaking hear language, because your job is to find that common union. That's the communication, is the process of finding common union, so that you can form a rapport with the customer, with the friend, with the person you're talking to. And rapport, remember, we have this little blurb that we say, really all people prefer others resembling themselves. Rapport, R-A-P-P-O-R-T. Really all people prefer others resembling themselves. When they start to like you, people buy from friends. And so that's your job, is to find that common union and hook up and be that person that they can best receive the information in the way that they receive it, that you've got to give them because you believe in what you're selling or getting to them.
Yeah, and that's the big caveat, is that you have to be believing what you're selling.
That's right. And if you don't believe in what you're selling, sell something else or get out of the business, because if you think of your customers as a mark or a schmuck or somebody that you can just take advantage of or just a dollar figure to you, they're going to feel that and they're going to know that, and you're going to go broke. And it's going to be a very non-lucrative position for you. And, you know, this technique, like I said before, we used it at my company called Water Consultants and Laboratories, and we increased our business 300%. With the same crew that we had, the same sales team that we had, and the business went increased 300% with this technique. So it really works. I've used it. It really put more money in my pocket, and it really works in the fact that people can really receive and understand what you've got to say if you utilize this technique when you're talking to your wife, for example, or when you're talking to your kids, for example. Speak the language that they best understand, not the language that's easiest for you.
Yeah. And in the truth funnel that you went through, how many questions were there again?
The 12 questions?
Yeah, there were 12 questions, and we've had some people request them, so I just wanted to put out that reminder that if you want a copy of the 12 questions, you can email us at nick@nickcastellano.com and just say you're looking for the 12 questions, and we'll get that information over to you. Or you can request them on our Facebook page. Search for Awaken the Sleeper in the Facebook search bar, and you'll find us there, and just put us a status reply or an instant message, and we'll get you that information. But again, if you want to call in, we definitely take callers. You can call us at 866-472-5788. If you have any questions over this or anything else, we're taking questions after the second break, correct?
That's correct. And that's really important, is that, you know, my sales team used to take the questions with them, and they just read them because they ask permission, first of all, to take notes. And every client loves that you're taking notes to every pearl that's dripping from their lips. So you've already given them edification by saying, can I take notes? And then you just read the questions, and right next to them, you write answers. And you don't get lost. You don't go to Wimp Junction, where you basically skew away from the 12 questions. Stay the course. It'll get tough, but at the end, it'll be the result that both of you need, and you'll get them what they need so that they can perform their work more efficiently.
Yeah, you don't have to memorize them, for sure.
Exactly. Don't memorize them. And again, and when it comes to facial and body expressions, like I said, my wife usually puts it up on a little cabinet, and when she's asking my son questions on, did you do this or did you do that, she's watching the face that's up there and seeing where his eyes go in relationship to where the eyes are on the little chart that she has sitting there. So she knows, is he making it up? Is he telling the truth? Is he remembering? What is he doing? These techniques work, and they work for all people. Doesn't matter what nationality, doesn't matter where you're from, it works.
Yeah, our brains are wired independent of race.
That's correct. And as we learned in our genetics class, there's many different races. No, there's one race. It's called the human race. And it doesn't matter what color. The rest of it is just the pressure put on by the environment, the colors, skin colors, and the slanted eyes, and the bigger noses or whatever. But the science and geneticists have said there's only one race, and it's called the human race. So we got to stop focusing on our differences and start focusing on our similarities, because as one, we're strong, but separate, we're weak. We can't even get Christians to agree on anything. We're the weakest race out there. We fight each other. How we got time to fight Satan when we're fighting each other all the time?
Yeah. Yeah, we get divided over the littlest of things.
That's right. So this week, anyway, we're going to get back into a bit more about creating, and we're going to get a little more in-depth. But in order to do that, we've got to do a little bit of review. So to review a bit and to speak on this a little bit, and you know, I say review, some people are going, well, I need to hear it again because it's the first time I ever heard it, and I really do want to hear it again. So remember that 4% of all that we see, everything that is visible matter. Only 4%, science says, is visible matter.
So of all the matter that exists in the universe, only 4% you can see it with your human eyes.
That's right. Only 4% you can see with your naked eye. That's it. So that leaves a lot of stuff, 96% that's something else. So 23% is called dark matter. That's matter that can't be seen by the naked eye. And then 73% is called dark energy or invisible energy or energy that can't be seen by the naked eye. So that's a lot of stuff that we rely on our four senses. You know, a lot of scientists say, well, if I can't see it, feel it, hear it, touch it, smell it, well, it isn't. Because if I can't use my five senses to figure out what it is, then it isn't. Well, that's a pretty myopic view, and that's a pretty, considering the fact that we've only got 4% of all the universe that's actually visible, and 96% that's not visible.
Well, with today's technology, we're so used to things not visible, actually, with television waves and radio waves and cellular phones and, you know, Bluetooth, everything we have. I mean, we don't question that there's energy that can go from place to place without us seeing it. We know that that exists.
We do. And that's a great point, Drew. But the problem we have is, though, when it has to do with empowering a person, for some reason, we throw all that invisible stuff out the window. And we say, well, that can't be. That's not right. It can't be. And I don't know why that is, but it's a lie from the pit of hell, as we used to say. And we know now through science that really all things are just energy. You know, my background, again, is I was a nuclear power chemical instructor in the United States Navy for 10 years. I taught this stuff. I was a nerd's nerd. We knew that the smallest unit of matter was atom. We thought that was the smallest unit of anything, A-T-O-M, atom. We had a proton, a neutron, and an electron. We are very happy about that. However, now with the new sciences, we find out that a proton is made of quarks. Two up quark and a down quark is a proton, and a quark is an energy packet. And we know that a neutron is two down quarks and an up quark, which is another set of energy packets. And we know that those quarks are held together by energies called gluons. All right, they're making stuff up now. Gluons, for gosh sakes. All right, but everything is energy. And then we had the only piece of matter left, which was an electron. We were so excited we had an electron, that little orbital around, because we saw the Bohr model of the atom. We had that little orbital going around, and we knew it was there because it's that little piece of matter. However, when the quantum physicists did the double slit experiment, they found out that that little orbital that we believed was there was only acting as a wave potential, that it only acted as a potential for some reality. It was only acting as a potential for matter. In other words, it was based on where the observer thought it would be is where it ended up being. People had direct influence on whether matter was here, there, the electron showed up here, there, anywhere. So a place to really go find that out for yourself, and it's done really well by Dr. Alan Wolf, is on YouTube, and it's called the Double Slit Experiment. And the Double Slit Experiment is done in cartoon form, very easy to understand, and it shows that based on the thoughts and expectations of the observer is where the electron ends up being. In other words, based on the thought and the expectations of the observer, matter ends up being matter. Without the observer saying it isn't. It's just potentials. It's just wave potentials. As soon as the observer says, that's what I believe, and he's right, you see, we're always right. We always end up being right. What we believe to be happening always ends up being right. And we don't want to take on that responsibility. We don't want to know that we have the creative power that we've been given. We don't want to know that when God said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, that it meant the same thing that the double slit experiment is saying. And I think I'll go into a little more depth with that today, just to talk a little bit about it for any of the Christians or the non-Bible believers or anything like that. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but probably the second half. But I want to keep going here. So, do you have anything, Drew, to add to this portion?
Yeah, just on the double slit experiment, you know, when I've talked to people about that, you know, the thing that they first say is, oh, yeah, some, you know, this is you know, some crystal rubbing or, you know, way out there person that's doing it. And that's just not the case. They've reproduced this experiment, you know, from Stanford to, you know, all the major universities. This experiment that electrons are potentials, and not until you observe the electron or measure the electron does it actually become a particle. This experiment is not disputed in science. This isn't something that is even fringe science. It's not disputed at all.
No, it's been reproduced over and over and over and over again. However, the people tank, which is us, we don't know it. We don't even know about it. We stay with the Bohr model. We stay with the fact that we're just victims. We stay with the fact that we just have stuff happen to us. And yet what the double slit experiment says to us is that we happen to stuff. Based on what we believe will happen is what we pull into reality. Every choice that we make, there's thousands of things we can do. Every situation has thousands of choices, say. Say you show up into a restaurant, and you show up to that restaurant, and you can choose to just sit down without the waitress. You could choose to slap the waitress in the face. You could choose to scream and yell and holler and dance around. You could choose a thousand different choices. The choice that you choose is the one that's going to come into reality and the one that's going to bear fruit based on that choice. What is the repercussions of that choice? You decide based on the choice you have. See, we used to say, being an old Italian, bad things happen in threes. Bad things happen in threes is one of the sayings that I... So if you had one bad thing, get ready for two more. And you know what? We started to look for two more. We'd look for another one because we knew that there was going to be three because some old wife told us bad things happen in three. And you know what? Another one would come. And then we only had to look for one more. And then that other would come and go, it's over.
All is right with the world.
It's all... And who created that?
You did.
That's it, because I expected bad things to happen in threes. Or when things are going really, really, really well, you say, oh, well, that's good, but that's just a little bit too good. There's got to be, when is the other shoe going to drop? And then we make sure that other shoe drops, because our identity, who we are, the person inside says, it can't be this good. It's never this good. And we're right again. Here comes the other shoe dropping. And who created that, Drew?
We did.
We did. We're the ones that created it. So
when we come back from the break, we can talk more about this and we can go through the questions. We have some questions piling up to answer. We can answer some of those questions, but we have to take a short break. So we'll be back in a few minutes.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Tired of lackluster results with your marketing? Craving more leads in your business? Tune in to the Mojo Marketing Edge with the team behind Mojo Global Marketing, Ira Rosen and Corey Michael Sanchez. Winners of the Marketer of the Year, they will show you how to generate daily leads, build databases of raving fans, and close deals faster than ever before. See what's hot right now and how you can tap into it to generate an endless supply of customers and clients. The Mojo Marketing Edge can be heard every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Voice America Network proudly presents The Catherine Zox Show for women, men, children, and families. Catherine magically combines her compassion, experience, and talent to bring listeners a show that's upbeat, informative, and yes, a little sassy. Tune in every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern to The Catherine Zox Show on the Voice America channel.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Come on in, gentlemen.
You are tuned in to Awaken the Sleeper. To reach Dr. Nick Castellano or his guest, please call in live to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to nick@nc2.biz. Now, back to Awaken the Sleeper.
All right, this is Dr. Nick with Andrew Holcomb, and we're back, and I think we're going to stay on topic, and then after the next break, we'll get into the Q&A. But we've been making some headway here, and I don't want to break it up. So we've talked a little bit about the quantum physics and the double slit experiment and the fact that we create our own reality, and that so much of reality or what we see is only 4% visible matter. So the chemistry of it, or as a neuroscientist would look at it, what they would say, And you know, unfortunately, people, they say the same thing, that we create or attract into our lives our reality. They say, you think a thought. Okay, now when you think a thought, there's a picture created in your mind. That's, you know, that picture created in your mind is why it's so important that you use vision boards. Because what you see and what you see and what you put before you and what you put before you starts to manifest itself, because you start to get comfortable with it. You start to bring it from the unseen to the seen. If you're a Christian, the word is asah. We bring, in the Hebrew, we were allowed to create, which means we bring what God had created in the from bara, from nothing. We bring it from the unseen into the seen. Asa is the word. So we think a thought, we create a picture in our mind, then we attach an emotion to that picture, whatever that emotion happens to be. It could be something positive, it could be something negative, whatever that emotion happens to be. And really, positive and negative are your choice. It's just an emotion. And then the hypothalamus releases neuropeptides, which are a whole bunch of amino acids, and each emotion that we have has a different amino acid released, and these amino acids key lock into the receptor sites in our cells and make us vibrate at a certain frequency. So when we vibrate at that frequency, the key to that vibration is, what emotion did we create from? Did we create from a place of peace, love, and joy? In other words, did we create from this place of serenity, of peacefulness, of love? Were we meditating? Do we even meditate? Or do we just do life and just hope stuff works out? Do we even get quiet? Do we even want to know what we're thinking on the inside? Do we even want to spend time with our higher power? Because, you know, for me, I was only created for one reason, and that was to walk in the cool of the garden with Papa God. Which means I was only created for relationship with him. And, you know, it seems like the hardest thing in all the stuff I'm doing is being. How can I become a human being, not a human doing? And the only way I've learned to do that is through meditation, getting quiet within myself, getting at peace within myself. I do that early in the morning, and then I can resonate, be one with God, get quiet with God. The monks do it by meditating, and they chant, and their resonance frequency of their delta between their chants is 7.83 hertz, which is the Schumann resonance, or the resonance of the earth. So they're one with everything. I mean, every culture does it, but typically us over here in America don't take the time to meditate, to get quiet, to find out what's going on, to be one with whatever your higher power is, or to be one with everything around us.
Well, I got stuff to do. I can't be doing that.
Yeah, I'm busy. I got stuff to do. And you know what I found? When I do that and I just get so busy that I don't spend the time to meditate, my day doesn't go all that well. But when I take the time to be at peace, and then I create and I line up from a place of peace, love, and joy, then the things in my life that I attract into the things in my life are bringing or edifying that place of peace, love, and joy. It's amazing how it happens. If I get so busy that I don't have time to get quiet, I have a terrible day. And you know what? I get busier. I do a whole bunch of stuff that I really don't want to do just to give me value, to feel like I'm doing something, even though in the end result is it has no value.
If you would have just taken the time at the beginning, you would have gotten everything done you wanted to get done.
That's right. That's right.
Or needed to get done, I should say. Or
exactly, needed to get done. So just remember that you're the boss of you, and the mindset or the meditation is the key. Are you a victor or a victim? Does stuff happen to you, or do you happen to stuff? And that's real important, because if you believe that stuff happens to you, you're going to become part of someone else's plan instead of you having a plan yourself. Now, I know that no one wants to be part of someone else's plan, except for if you're a spiritual person, part of God's plan. But I know that you were created for a purpose. You were created for a reason. There's a thing you're called to do, that every person, He created no junk, and that each person that was created has a thing to do. And you don't want that thing that you have to do to fall by the wayside because you're feeling victimized, or you're allowing yourself to feel victimized when you have all power, dominion, and authority.
Well, I think you hit on a key point. You said, you know, be a part of someone else's plan. And I think part of what we do is that we don't have a plan. I'm part of someone else's plan because I don't have a plan. My plan is just to not do anything. You know, I mean, we don't really have a plan.
And I agree that most people don't, they don't have a plan. their plan is make all the money you can, put it in a can, and sit on a can, as a pastor friend of mine used to say. Because there is no plan, and the world's plan for us is to make as much money as you can, get sick, give all the money back, and barely have enough money so you can bury yourself at the end. That doesn't sound like a very good plan. But you were created for a reason. The hard part is actually searching for the reason you were created. And there are talents and strengths that you've been given that we've gone through the Clifford Talent and Strength Finder test that shows you what your talents and strengths are. And they're like the smell to the aroma of the banquet of purpose that you've been given, the thing that you're called to do, the reason you're here on this planet. And you know, we're going to have to do things a little bit out of the box, a little bit differently than we've been programmed to do in order to find out our why, our reason, how come I'm here, what am I supposed to do? And each person was called to do something great. But we don't want to believe that, because in that being called to do something great, then we are responsible. And really, most people don't want responsibility. They like the place of victim. They like the place of, please, Mr. Government, take care of me, because I don't want to be responsible. And all it means is you have the ability to respond to the situations and circumstances you've been called to change. You have that power if you believe that you have that power inside you.
Yeah, so I, as a personal story, we did the episode that we did, I think it was 3 weeks ago or maybe 4 weeks ago, on the Strength Finder test. And I dug the Strength Finder test that I did, I don't know, 10 years ago or so out. And so this is for all of you who've actually done it. And when Nick said, hey, go do the Strength Finder, you thought, well, I don't have to do that because I've done it already. Go dig it out and review it. It was good for me to go back and review the Strength Finder, because it gives you great information as to how to set up a winning situation for yourself. So if you've done it already, just dig it out again and review it. I don't think you need to actually take it again. You can just review the existing results.
I think it's a great idea. You know, I've got my Strength Finder, my results right in front of me. They're on my computer at all times, and my I am statement is on my computer, and it's on my car on the dash. So I always have that there. So when I'm going through a tough time, it just means I've forgotten who I am, and I've forgotten how great I am for that moment. So I take a time, and I can start over my day anytime I want. I don't have to give up a whole day, a whole week, a whole month. I can just, you know, that moment wasn't so hot. Let's just give up a moment, and let's start the day over again. I hate when people say, I had a bad day, I had a bad week. Come on now, gang. You don't have to give up all that time. Just say, this moment was bad, but you know what? I started over again, and the rest was good. And I neutralized that bad with all the good that happened in my life at that time, because I created it from a place of peace, love, and joy. So back to that, we can create from a place of peace, love, and joy. That's your emotion that you choose. That's what I find through meditation. At the beginning of the day, I create my day. I don't let it be created on me. Or you can create from a place of que sera, sera, which is most people. Well, whatever will be, will be. I mean, this is the Australian attitude. When I was in Australia, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I have no say. I have no, you know, and this is what the government promotes. You pretend like the people have no power. We have all power. We are the government. You have no power. Oh, we have great power. We have great power. When we unite, there is nothing more powerful. And the greatest fear is that we unite for a common cause and nothing can come against us united. And then there's the old place of fear, lack, and worry. And that's where a lot of people end up. Oh, I really don't want this to happen. I'm very afraid this might happen. It's the greatest energy that wins. If you're in great energy in fear, oh, get ready for whatever you're afraid of to come true. You're creating it. You're the one bringing it from the unseen to the seen. You're the one that's giving it all the energy to bring life to that thing. I'm very afraid this might happen. And you're right. Here it comes.
If you have those thoughts of fear on a continual basis, how can you just stop that and think about something else?
Well, and that's a great point. How do you just stop that? Stop the day, meditate on something positive. I have something called a gratitude list. When as soon as I go into this place of fear, lack, and worry, I have a thing of the things I am so grateful for. I am so happy and grateful for. I was born in this country, that I have a loving wife, that I have great kids, that I have my own house, that I have a great job. The list can go on and on and on. And if you have to read it out loud three or four times until you start to resonate in that place of gratitude, do it. Whatever it takes, but don't stay in this place of fear, lack, and worry. This is the place that'll kill you because it's like a giant hole that you keep going down. It's like a rabbit hole. You stay in fear, lack, and worry. You bring more fear, lack, and worry into your life and more and more and more and more. And you know who did it? You did, because you're the creator of your reality. Stop it. Get into a place of gratitude. Get into a place of peace, love, and joy. Read something positive. Sing a great song. Whatever elevates you to that next level. Do that thing. You stop all work until you're back in this place. Because, you know, in fear, lack, and worry, we sit there and we go, I need an answer from my higher power. I need an answer from God. I need an answer. It does not exist in fear, lack, and worry. That answer only exists in the place that your higher power exists, which is in peace, love, and joy. I know for myself, I used to sit there and I'd work so hard and I'd struggle and I'd be working nights because I got to find the answer to this question. I'd be overloaded with this answer to this question I had to have, and I'm just killing myself because I will find the answer. And then all of a sudden I just let it go. Oh, well, whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to get back into the place of peace. Boom. As soon as I let it go, there's the answer. Boom. Now, I mistakenly connect the dots incorrectly, thinking it was all that work I did, all that fear, all that nose to the grindstone stuff that gave me the answer. But the truth was, the moment I let go is the moment I had the answer I always needed. Because one was all about me, and one was not anything about me. It was a place of peace and lining up where all the answers existed, which was peace, love, and joy.
But that's different than what we talked about earlier about being in a que sera, sera. You're not talking about, when you say let it go, that's not what you mean.
No, I don't mean whatever will be. I mean let it go. You go into peace. Stop trying to carry a load that's not yours to carry. God, answer your question, because the answer is laid up in the place of peace, love, and joy. Know it's going to be good as soon as you resonate with the place where the answer exists.
Yeah, so it's not you striving and working and being in that, you know, frenetic type mindset. It's once you change your mindset, then the answer is revealed.
That's correct. As soon as I changed my mindset was the moment the answer came to me. But, you know, most of the time as a hard-working nut, I thought the answer was because I got the answer because of the place of fear, lack, and worry and nose to the grindstone.
Yeah, it was your 16 hours that did it.
Yeah, 16 hours of no sleep and make my family miserable that gave me the answer I needed, when the truth was the answer was always laid up in the place that I finally got to, which is in peace, love, and joy.
So you could have, if you were prepared, you could have got to that place in minute number one instead of the 16th hour.
Correct. If I was well-armed and knew the tools that I had and believed the fact that I did have the power to create, I could have got to that place in a moment instead of staying in this place for 16 hours of fear, lack, and worry, and wrecking my life and lack and worry into my life. You know, it had no benefit being in that place.
And that's the beauty of it, that, like you were saying before, you don't have to give up a whole day. You don't have to give up a whole week or a whole year. Or I've heard people say, I'm having a bad year. I mean, wow, that's a lot of minutes to give up as being bad. You can just hit the reset button since you're in control of you and your surroundings and just reboot. So is there any other techniques that you have besides the gratitude list?
Well, I mean, one of the keys, I think, is the idea of now living. You know, and this is, well, maybe you have one, Drew. You go ahead. I'm going to get into now living in a minute. But what do you think, another, because you do the same thing that I do.
The thing that I do is move physical location, actually, is something that I do. That if I'm giving up time and I'm in that frenetic place, I'll change my physical surroundings to help me execute the 5 R's, basically. Because sometimes if I've been in the same, for me, it's my office. You know, if I'm in my office or you know, if I was driving and something was frustrating me, then just changing physical location can help you reboot to a different vibration level.
That's right. That's a great idea. That is a fantastic idea. And that works too. Do a relocation to a place where you're feeling that you need to feel, that place of peace that you need to be in. And for you Christians, you know, I know we're talking about you create your reality, and maybe that's playing against all your programs or all your religious programs. We've got something called Hebrews 11:1, which means when translated from the Greek, which means in the now, belief makes up the building blocks or essence of things expected, and is improved and is proved by the manifestation of matter not previously seen by the naked eye. In other words, in the now, I'm going to say it again, belief makes up the building blocks or essence of things expected and is proved by the manifestation of matter not previously seen by the naked eye. You did it. It's saying the same thing the double slit experiment's saying. You create reality you choose based on the thoughts and expectations of your heart. So if you're all waiting for the rapture, stop it. It's our job to create the reality that we expect. It's our job as Christians to create the reality that we expect for His glory and honor, to bring order to chaos. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're not just sitting back, hiding in the church, waiting for the rapture to show up so we can get out because we screwed it up so bad.
Yeah, science is just, you know, as you said, with the double slot experiment and the verse in Hebrews, that science is catching up to what was known back then, 2,000 years ago, written in the Bible, that it was known that you create your own reality. And now technology is catching up to prove it, and we just need to act upon it, take what we know is true and act upon it.
Exactly. I mean, no matter which way you go, whether you go from the place of quantum physics, you go from the place of neuroscience, or you go from the place of what the Word of God says, you're in charge. You're the boss. I give you all power, dominion, and authority. Well, if he says that, that means you have the power, dominion, and authority. No one else but you. And you can't advocate that position. But yet we've advocated it in every place we've gone. We've advocated it in politics. We've advocated it in religion. We've advocated it in business. We've advocated it in the schools. We've left saying it's so messed up, I need to get out and please come. And it's all wrong. So anyway, we've got to take a break. We're going to come back and do a little bit of Q&A. We've got about 15 seconds left, so we'll answer questions when we get back, and I'm excited to hear the questions you have. I hope I stepped on a few toes today. Thank you.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Are you a single parent trying to create the balance between home life and work life? You may be running a successful business, but how are your relationships with your family and children? If you're one of the thousands of people trying to juggle it all, tune in to Straight Up with Chris. Real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris is the portrait of the success story. Coming to the U.S. with no language skills, founding and growing several businesses while raising his daughter from age 7 to adulthood as a single dad. Listen every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety. These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
It's time to take a new look at some of life's changing moments. It's time to listen to an expert who has been there and can provide insight through experience, studies, and enlightening guests. Tune in to Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets. Host Lindsay Levinson takes a look at relationships, parenting, health and wellness, divorce, depression, sexuality, philanthropy, and mental health. You'll look at everything you know in a different way. Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets, airs Wednesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Gentlemen,
you are tuned in to Awaken the Sleeper. To reach Dr. Nick Castellano or his guest, please call in live to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to nick@nc2.biz. Now, back to Awaken the Sleeper.
All right, this is Dr. Nick Castellano with Andrew Holcomb. I guess I got to apologize. I heard we cut out a couple of times. I am on Skype because I am traveling, so I had to hook up a hard line on Skype. So I apologize if it broke up a couple of times. I hope you got the passion and the meaning that I sent. And right now we're going to get into some Q&A from last week and maybe from this week. So go ahead, Andrew. Let me know what we've got.
Okay. We have Paul in Alaska. He asks, I sell something that I don't believe in, and I heard you talking about that you shouldn't do that. Are you saying I should quit my job?
I'm saying either you should learn to believe in the product you're selling or not sell that product. It's real simple. If you don't believe in what you're selling, then you are truly a salesman. You're not a consultant. If you don't even use the product that you're selling, you're the old style salesman that's there to put someone in bondage, to take a security and trade it for something of less security, something they don't need. You got to believe in the product. And more than that, you got to believe in yourself. And if you are selling a product that you don't believe in, then you might not even be believing in yourself. And that permeates through everything you do. Believe in the product you're selling and believe in yourself.
Okay, great. The next one is Yasmin in Miami. She asks, you talked about feel, and you kind of went into this a little bit already, but we can just reiterate. You talked about feel language and think language. How many languages are there?
Well, as many languages as the, that's a good question. As many languages as the senses allow. We have the language of see, which is vision. We have the language of feel, which is more kinesthetic. We have the language of think, which is more the intellectual. We have the language of hear, which is more the auditory. So those are the languages you typically run into, and you have to change your language based on the words you hear coming out of their face, because they're telling you how they receive information based on that language.
Yeah, and it almost always follows the pattern that the person says, I, whatever comes after I feel, I see, I
think, I hear.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
And then I always follow up, I start to use that language.
And it works. That technique really makes them feel more comfortable with you. Again, with that language, adjust your tonality. If they're a soft-spoken person, be soft-spoken. If they're a to-the-point person because they got something to do, be to-the-point because you got something to do. Yeah. Be like them.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it kind of matches up with the four faces of man, as it were, the analytical and the thinker and the four faces of man.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yep. You're right. Yep. What's the next question?
We have Jeremiah in Pennsylvania kind of...
Wow.
Asks an open-ended question. How much of what you've been talking about has to do with NLP?
Neuro-linguistic programming. Well, a lot of it has to do with NLP. NLP is still considered in the scientific community as a pseudoscience. We're going to talk a little bit more, and I don't want to give away the thunder of Dr. Matt. But he's going to be talking a lot about that. So please be here next week when we talk with Dr. Matt, and we can address any actual questions on NLP with Dr. Matt, because neuro-linguistic programming is an important part of how you repent, renew your mind, think a new way. Because you got to remember, most of your programming occurred by the time you were 3 years old, and 80% of it, actually. And we've got to reprogram this thinking to think a way that would be advantageous to our lives.
Yeah. And along those lines, just to reiterate, we do have Dr. Matt next week. So if you have any questions for Dr. Matt that you want us to queue up for you, you can email us at nick@nickcastellano.com or go to nickcastellano.com and sign up for our email newsletter. That way that we can email you and you can get the links to listen to the show if you can't be listening live. So again, go to nickcastellano.com and sign up for our newsletter. That leads us into our next question, which is Neil in New York. Just says New York. I'm not sure if that's New York, New York, or somewhere else. Could be in the whole state here. He's asking about vision boards. He says, is there a limit to how many pictures I should put on my vision board? I have so, multiple O's, so many ideas.
Well, that's a good question. I've seen vision boards divided into personal visions or personal goals. I've seen them into family goals, into spiritual goals, you know, divided into quadrants. Whatever you feel is best, but if your vision is scattered and you've got pictures everywhere...
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, you probably got a scattered vision too. And if you're a Christian, Habakkuk 2:2 says, write your vision and make it plain so that others may run with it. In other words, write it so that it's... The word plan means explain in detail. So put the vision, make it clear, make it concise, and edify that vision with other pictures that see you in that place, that vision that you want to be in. You know, if you want a house by the beach, then have a whole bunch of pictures of this house by the beach that you want to have. And it's not just for you. It's for the edification of all around you, that you want to do it not just for you, but for others, so that others can experience this greatness. Because when you allow yourself to hit a higher level of greatness, it releases others around you to hit a higher level of greatness. You know, for me, I know when I stopped drinking and doing all the nonsense that I did, then my brothers could then stop drinking and they could stop doing the nonsense that they, because even though they're kind of, as family, saying, who are you or what are you, or they're almost rooting against you, once you achieve that goal, they're like, well, if he can do it, I can do it. So just know when you elevate yourself, when you take that step, you allow others around you to take that step.
Yeah, and I would encourage Neil to, you know, pick the ones that you're most passionate about. I think sometimes, you know, you have so many ideas and are doing so many things that you actually accomplish nothing. You move forward very little, but in a whole bunch of things. You know, it'd be better to take something all the way over the goal line. So get focused on what's your most passionate item.
I like that, and I think that's right, Drew. And you know, I always quote the most amazing chicken in the world, rooster, actually, the Foghorn Leghorn, and says, "Boy, I see a lot of chopping, but no chips are flying." In other words, you got a lot of vision, but you don't have one focus that you're actually going to take over the goal line. And typically, what we do is we'll fumble on the 5 yard line, using a football analogy.
Yeah, and some advice you gave me about 10 years ago was, you can have an idea, but find someone who is really passionate about that idea and let them run with your idea. You don't have to run with every idea that you have. You can just have the idea, let them run, and get a piece of the business.
And that's exactly right. For me, it was a lakes and ponds division in my water treatment business. I didn't want to do lakes and ponds, but it was my idea to have a lakes and ponds division. Well, I had a guy named Jeff who was passionate about lakes and ponds. He became my director of the lakes and ponds division, and he grew that thing, and it was amazing. And now he has his own company that just does lakes and ponds. So, you know, congratulations to Jeff, but the idea is find the person that is passionate about it so that they can take it to that higher level.
Yeah. The next one is a kind of an open-ended one as well. We have Rita in Vancouver asks, how do you know your purpose?
Okay.
That's the big one and the open-ended one.
Well, how do you know your purpose is not an easy question. And as a matter of fact, Drew and I have these 15 questions that help you along to find your purpose. And I call them the 15 questions of purpose. But the number one criteria is you got to take that Clifford Strength Finders test first to even know who you are or how you're created or what your strengths are so you can on purpose take those strengths and develop them into excellence instead of taking your weaknesses and develop them into mediocrity, which is what we're taught to do. You're not good at something, so you sit there and struggle and struggle and struggle and develop it into some place of C, average, a mediocre place, instead of taking the things you're great at and being excellent at them.
Yeah, and you took a F to a C instead of taking a A to an A+.
Correct. And see, it's those A pluses in your life, those things that you're great at, those things that you typically give away for free. You're so good at them, you're so natural at them, that you give them away for free when they're supposed to be the source of your abundance. They're supposed to be the source of your income, because that's how you were created, for that thing that you love to do to be your source. So we have 15 questions we could send you that we could help you with, and we do... Go ahead, Drew.
I was just going to say that you know, email us at nick@nickcastellano.com, and I can get you those 15 questions.
But you got to be honest with those 15 questions. This is not some, I'm going to pretend like I'm a great guy. You've got to be honest and be as honest and heartfelt as you can with these answers, and that's how the breakthrough can occur. If you can't be honest with self, you can't take that next step.
Well, that was all of our questions. As another reminder, email us the questions, post them on our Facebook page. Just search Awaken the Sleeper up in the search box. You'll find us. If you want to go directly, it's facebook.com/Dr. Nick Castellano, and that's the doctor abbreviated, so it's Dr. Nick Castellano. That's the Facebook page. Post your questions there, and we'll get them answered. Or, of course, you can call in, 866-472-5788. I know that, you know, people are a little nervous to call in, don't want to be on the air. So, you know, shoot us a message via Facebook if you're a little nervous about being on the radio.
All right, well, let's get back. We can finish up with some more of this empowerment talk that we were talking about. Do you have an email from somebody that said something about what they do when they're in a bad place?
I do. Let me find it, and I'll get back to you. I closed it on accident.
Okay. All right. Well, let me get back to this. This is about more of the empowerment, and I want to take this thing to the next level. And this has to do with the fact that we've got this power that we don't even believe that we have. But a study was done in a hospital in Mumbai, India, on 100 Parkinson's disease people. They had Parkinson's. And the problem with Parkinson's is you don't create any dopamine anymore in your system. So what they did was they sold this idea that these sugar pills, these amazing sugar pills that they had, were the most amazing Parkinson's cure ever. And when they sold that, what happened was and they gave them to these Parkinson's disease victims. What happened was 50% of the people that had Parkinson's stopped showing the results of Parkinson's, and when they did the test on these people, they were actually creating dopamine in their system. Just by the thought that this thing could do it, it made it so. Because you were right. You're always right. You have that kind of power.
So they could actually physically, medically test to prove that they were cured.
That's correct. They medically could check, and they said, you're creating dopamine. You have no more Parkinson's disease anymore. Another quick aside was they had a group in Washington, D.C. Now, this was a Christian group that they came in to pray, and they said to the what they were going to do is they told the chief of police in Washington, D.C. on a July night in 2008 that we are going to pray and we're going to bring crime rate down 20% in July in Washington, D.C. And he said, well, there'll be a snowstorm in Washington before you ever bring down the crime rate 20% in a hot July evening in Washington, D.C. So they prayed for 24 hours. That 24 hours, the crime rate went down 21%, and not one snowflake fell.
So I wonder if it could have gone down more if they would have said more.
If they'd have said more, it could have gone down more. The key was, one, they made a claim, and number two, they were united in purpose. It doesn't matter, Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, whatever, when you're united in purpose. Heck, let's use the Bible, for example. The Tower of Babel, when they came together in the Tower of Babel, God himself said, and no thing is impossible to them, because they are of one mind, they are of one spirit, they are of one voice. Nothing was impossible to them. No thing was impossible to them. And that's still the way it is today. If we could ever just get united with one mind, one voice, one purpose, no thing would be impossible to us. So, Drew, we've only got about 45 seconds left. Why don't you talk a little bit about Dr. Matt for next week?
Sure. We have Dr. Matt coming next week. I'm very excited to have him. You can look him up on Facebook. Just search Quantum Emergence on Facebook, and you can read about what he's doing and what he does. But he's going to be talking about the neuroscience of creating. So it's going to be very interesting. And one thing about all of Dr. Matt, I know you won't be able to experience it on the radio, but it's all experiential learning. So you can, you know, it's a whole experience.
Yeah, he's learned that through the experience of learning, or actually the hands-on, that's what the true learning comes in. So he actually takes you through exercises that make you actually do a thing differently so that you know a thing differently so that it becomes a reality in your mind, and it is. So it's hard to explain, but he'll do a much better job than we do of explaining it, and that's why we're having him on. And get your questions ready, because Dr. Matt's an amazing teacher, and he's an amazing he has great effects, or makes great effects in one's life.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think we're about out of time. So let's put it off till next week. And I expect all of you here next week with a lot of questions for Dr. Matt Menino and his quantum emergence. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Awaken the Sleeper. Please join your host, Dr. Nick Castellano, again next week, Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel. Until then, don't believe everything you see, hear, or read. No, question it.